From the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network studios in Des Moines, I'm Mark Magnuson, and welcome to Iowa Ag Matters. In today's show, Dustin is joined by Charles Krause of Midwest Dairy. Riley speaks with Greg McBride of Allendale for the latest export sales update, and Andy and Dustin discuss the improvement of the Iowa drought monitor and also talk about how warm weather affects grain storage. Segment number one of the show brought to you by FBI Buildings. It's time now to welcome our hosts, Dustin Huffman and Andy Peterson.
All right, Mark, we're winding up another week here of your authentic, official, and trusted voice of Iowa agriculture, Iowa Ag Matters program. And boy, some big news and a big help for the cattle industry, Dustin. A couple of bills signed by Governor Reynolds that will benefit Iowa cattle producers. It's exciting to talk about.
Yeah, it definitely is. You know, and the governor's always been great about her support of the agriculture industry. You know, it's the biggest moneymaker for the state, and getting that work for the cattlemen is definitely good news and a lot of well-deserved support from the state.
Yeah, so one of them has to do with protecting real beef from imitation lab-grown meat. The other one has to do with deductibility, and we'll talk more about that here as time goes on. Today, you get your export sales report. We'll also discuss some efforts of increasing dairy consumption as well with our friends at Midwest Dairy, and that demand for cheese continues to grow. It's amazing to see what's happened there.
Yeah, that it is. Always great to talk with them and get that information, because you know they've hit roadblock after roadblock, and the latest one is just another stepping stone for them to get over. And they're talking about how they're trying to increase that consumer confidence in their products. But right now, let's kick things off taking a look at the markets. Mark Magnuson talking now with Matt Bennett, AgMarket.net.
Joined today by Matt Bennett of AgMarket.net for our opening market discussion. Matt, what are we seeing taking place in the grains here on Friday?
You know, the last couple of days have been a little bit rougher for corn and beans. You know, it looks like we're going to maybe get a little bit of a rebound here going into the weekend. You know, I think with some of the weather issues we've got going on in the forecast, you know, even though there's going to be some progress over the weekend, I've got to think some of these traders be a little bit hesitant to push the envelope after two straight down days, the way that we've seen them with corn down, you know, over a dime, you know, when you factor in both days. So, you know, maybe you'll get a little bit of a bounce here on Friday. I don't expect any sort of major action, though.
Matt, something we spent some time talking about this week here on our various shows is that, you know, even if we do get a little bit behind planting progress, even if the weather isn't as cooperative as we would like it to be, the technology and the tools that we have to plant now are so advanced that we can get a lot of seed in the ground very quickly. And so that makes a huge difference compared to even just a few short years ago where that wasn't necessarily always the case.
Absolutely. You know, there's a couple of different things. So I agree. I mean, you can get a lot done quickly. You can also mess a lot of stuff up quickly too. So, you know, it's one of those deals where, hey, it's getting late in the spring, Mark. And what do you do whenever it gets late in the spring? Well, you look for every opportunity you can possibly get. Whenever it's April the 10th, you know, it's got to be ideal across the field or you're not going to do anything. And that's just the way it is. You know, but whenever it's May 17th, on the other hand, it's a little different, especially when you have rain in the forecast. So, you know, a couple things come to mind here. I don't think it's just the planting date that the market is concerned with. It's knowing that a wet spring precipitates folks doing things that they don't normally do when you get later in the spring, such as plant into less than ideal conditions. So I do think that even though we're recharging the subsoil, we've got some good moisture throughout the Midwest, that's a great development. But the problem, I think, for a lot of folks is that, you know, dialing back the national yield discussion is probably something we need to do, not just because of planting date, but because some of the agronomic stuff that we're seeing folks have to do since we're getting late enough, you know, here in the spring to get this crop planted.
Well, we'll have more from Matt Bennett of AgMarket.net. Going to give us some livestock information later on in the program. Right now, it's Andy Peterson. He's got the first round of the three big Iowa Ag Matters.
Number three.
A big win for Iowa's pork producers as new rules will allow meat to be served in school lunch breakfast programs. Did you know there was no meat at school breakfast? Yeah. Dr. Ashley Johnson, Director of Food Policy for the National Pork Producers Council, says this is key.
Because when it comes to protein, it is absolutely critical for these children to have a very well-rounded and very nutritious breakfast because it really affects their ability to learn, to pay attention in school. And you know what? Pork is exactly that. It's nutritious. It's delicious. It's also affordable. So these schools can actually be able to utilize that protein to be able to feed these kids and help them with their school.
She says the action piggybacks the new dietary guidelines that are being worked out right now and corrects a problem from several years ago.
Number two.
A step in the right direction for Iowa's cattlemen, Governor Kim Reynolds signing two bills into law that were high priority for the Iowa Cattlemen's Association, showcasing the importance. A large crowd gathered at Pat and Laura Blom's farm to witness the notable event. The meat integrity bill protects against the misbranding of fake meat products and keeps environmental lab-grown protein out of supplemental nutrition programs in schools. The second bill prevented a new tax on producers by reinstating the livestock capital gains deduction.
Number one.
Rising concern about retaliation after President Biden announced a surge of increased tariffs on imported Chinese products under Section 301 of 1974's Trade Act. Iowa Senator Charles Grassley says although he doesn't know what China's response will be, he thinks the ag exports from the U.S. could be a target. Asking for assistance after severe storms and 24 tornadoes impacted Iowa on April 27th and 28th, Iowa Senator Charles Grassley and Joni Ernst leading the state's delegation and calling on USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack to swiftly approve Iowa's request for federal assistance. Governor Reynolds and Secretary Nag made the request on behalf of farmers hit by severe storms and tornadoes last month as they're seeking immediate assistance in the USDA secretarial designation authorizing the FSA disaster programs, including farm loans program and the emergency assistance for livestock program. He says increased tariffs always include the threat of retaliation and issues for enhancing international trade. I'm Andy Peterson. Those are your three big Iowa Ag Matters.
Spring is in the air, and so are the savings at FBI Buildings. From now until June 1st, take advantage of our exclusive spring building savings. For over six decades, FBI has been the trusted name in the post-frame industry. Starting at just $27,000, you can own your dream building. Want to learn more? Call us now at 800-552-2981 or visit FBIBuildings.com to request a quote.
Well, we'll dive into the numbers here some after, of course, Mark talking about the markets and the importance of demand. Exports continue to be lackluster on the soybean side. Corn, a little bit different story with the flash sale announcement earlier this week. Riley Smith gets behind the microphone with Greg McBride from Allendale. That is straight ahead here on your authentic, official, and trusted voice of Iowa agriculture.
Well, the export sales are out, and we had a chance to go through them with Greg McBride of Allendale. Riley Smith had the chance to talk about those numbers again, corn and soybeans. Even though we did see those flash sales, as Andy said earlier, we still need more to do. Here's what we have to say.
First off, Greg, what came out on the report this morning for corn and soybean exports?
Sales came in as expected inside the range of estimates, 870,000 tons for corn, 300,000 tons for beans. Both of those noted more towards the lower end of estimates. We were looking for 700 to 1.2 million on the corn side of things and 300 to 650 on the soybeans. So overall, continue to be disappointed in soybean sales, but these corn sales are still doing okay. We're still kind of just plodding along, holding firm on these corn sales. So nothing to throw up any red flags or any panic situation on these corn sales just yet.
And then, have we seen any flash sales or really any sort of confirmation on exports like that?
We have had some flash sales. We didn't have anything today, but we had an unknown sale for soybeans earlier this week. We also sold some corn to Mexico, old crop and new crop. So we are seeing little bits here and there, but overall, we're not seeing China's name come up very often. We did, however, see China show up on the corn side of things as we had some unknown destination. Sales that got switched over to China on this week's report. But overall, it's still been kind of a little bit disappointing that we know they're going directly to Brazil for a lot of this stuff. We're not seeing them buying from us very often.
And then as far as the USDA goals are concerned, how are we lined up on that, and just kind of what's the outlook for that as well?
So on the corn side of things, we are still just slightly behind. So what I would say is, in order to meet the USDA's goal from here on out, we need to be at about 56% above normal from here to the end of the marketing year. We're probably not going to hit that. At this point, we're probably looking at more closer to being to missing the USDA's goal by maybe 40 to 70 million bushels, which when you're talking about billions of bushels in carryout or billions of bushels in the overall export demand side of things, it doesn't necessarily move the needle that much. It's not as big a percentage. Whereas on the soybean side of things, we continue to struggle with those sales. We are still missing, probably going to miss the overall USDA goal. Even if we do see improvements, we're probably going to miss by about 50 million bushels. So when you're talking about 300 million or 340 million, like we've got from the USDA, that additional 50 million is a little bit of an issue. And then to top that off, we did have a very disappointing crush report released yesterday. So there's that concern that maybe the crush side of things weakens and doesn't offset some of these losses on the export side as much.
All right, Greg, lots of great information today. For those of our listeners who would like to get in touch and learn more from the folks at Allendale, how can they do that?
Give us a call at 800-2-MARKET. That's 800-262-7538.
May is National Beef Month, and with the warmer temperatures of the spring season, there's no better time to fire up the grill and enjoy some quality Iowa-raised beef. We all know that beef tastes great, but it can also be an important part of a healthy, balanced diet. Just a 3-ounce serving of beef provides more than 10 essential nutrients like protein, iron, zinc, and vitamins B12 and B6, while only clocking in around 170 calories on average. Studies have also shown that lean beef can help to maintain normal cholesterol levels and promote heart health. On top of that, beef is a highly versatile meat that can be enjoyed in everything from burgers to steaks and tacos to pizzas. Beef cattle are also excellent nutrient upcyclers. About 90% of what they eat can't be digested by humans, making them invaluable to a sustainable food system. Support your local Iowa beef producer by enjoying some nutrient-dense beef during this National Beef Month. This message brought to you by your friends at the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
Take a look around the state here at cash prices varying as always, but also they're adjusting some too with the price movement on the board. Dustin has the numbers for you next on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
It's time to run down those elevator prices for you on this Friday on Iowa Ag Matters. I'm Dustin Huffman. Pretty quiet movement day, not seeing a whole lot of up or down here. Let's take a look at where the numbers are sitting today. Let's start at ADM Burlington. We're 17 cents under on corn today at 439. Soybean 17 cents under at 1209. Cargill and Eddyville, 3 cents under on corn, cash bid 453. New Co-op Algona, a nickel under on corn, 451. Soybeans 55 cents under, cash bid 1171. Ag State Sheldon, a dime over on corn, 466. Soybeans 73 cents under at 1153. Ag State Elta, 13 cents under on corn, cash bid 443. Soybeans 58 cents under at 1168. Cargill Cedar Rapids, even today on corn, they're at 456. Soybeans 15 cents under with a cash bid 1211. Nexus Co-op Marble Rock, 7 cents under on corn, 449. Soybeans 60 cents under, 1166. Lincoln Way Ethanol Nevada, they're 8 cents under on corn today with a cash bid 448. ADM Des Moines, 20 cents under on soybeans, their cash bid 1206. New Co-op Red Oak, a dime under on corn, 446. Soybeans 50 cents under, 1176. Mid-Iowa Cooperative Green Mountain, 20 cents under on corn, cash bid 436. Soybeans 55 cents under at 1171. New Co-op Sheraton, 17 cents under on corn, 439. Soybeans 55 cents under, 1171. Walk-On Feed Ranch, 7 cents under on corn, 449. Soybeans 53 cents under at 1173. At New Co-op in Glidden, they're a nickel under on corn today, cash bid 451, soybeans 50 cents under at 1176. Innovative Ag Services Farley, 22 cents under on corn, 434, soybeans 50 cents under, cash bid 1176. And at Cargill Muscatine, they're 20 cents under on corn, 436, 23 cents under on soybeans at 1203. Cash, corn, and soybean bids are subject to change without notice. Always check with your local elevators when making sales to obtain the most recent price. That's a check of the basis prices here on Iowa Ag Matters.
There are so many decisions that go into being a successful soybean farmer. Plant date, row spacing, water management, crop rotation, soil temperature, cover crop, soil pH, nutrients, water conditions. Whew! At least becoming a farmer member of the Iowa Soybean Association is one straightforward decision in your life. If you market at least 250 bushels of soybeans annually, ISA's farmer membership is available at no additional cost thanks to your soy checkoff investment. Just activate or confirm online and start reaping the benefits. It's a no-brainer. The Iowa Soybean Association proudly celebrates 60 years of moving our industry forward.
We've got more markets still to come here on Iowa Ag Matters, including livestock analysis and a complete rundown of the midday numbers for you. Don't forget, if you haven't been checking out Weekend Ag Matters, you can find that at iowaagnet.com or on your favorite Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network affiliate. A half-hour program every day, recapping some of the biggest news stories and interviews we do throughout the week. More Iowa Ag Matters still to come.
Continues to be exciting to see the direct-to-consumer marketing taking place by Iowa dairy producers. We'll focus on that here ahead of Dairy Month on Iowa Ag Matters today. Andy and Dustin Riley making it sound good as all. Market man Mark Magnuson handling the commentary here for us today. And ahead of June Dairy Month, there are some more opportunities for checkoff investment. Dustin learns how that approach is setting up with Charlie Krause, or from Charlie Krause, I guess, on the Midwest Dairy Board. Dustin?
Well, the dairy industry has faced some scrutiny as of late, especially as it pertains to the safety of products in H5N1, formerly known as bird flu and high path avian influenza. The USDA and the Food and Drug Administration have stood firm in assuring the public that our dairy is safe. And dairy farmers are helping to tell that story and promote their products. It's important to remember that dairy has a story well beyond the recent headlines and concerns, and that's where promotion comes in. Each year, checkoff dollars are used to help support the industry and educate consumers on the benefits of including real milk and other dairy products into your daily diet. Charles Krause is the chair of the Midwest Dairy Board, and he talks about the mission to make every drop count by wisely investing checkoff dollars into ways they can help tell dairy story. And they took a lot of great approaches to making that happen this last year.
Some of the cool things we did last year was partnering with influencers, and we actually had an influencer boot camp. And so we brought these influencers out, and we have a checklist we go through to make sure they agree with our values, our core values, what dairy farming stands for, and took them to a dairy farm and had them spend a couple of days out there and milk a cow, pick up a baby calf, and they did a little bit of informative learning for them out and showing some cover crops and some of the sustainable things dairy farms do. I always say the best way to convert someone is to get them on a farm tour. In our strategic plan, we try to talk about sustainable nutrition story and how farmers care for our land and our cows and produce crops along the way. Midwest Dairy's got their own social media sites, but we work with retailers. If you talk about medical influencers, we have a collaboration with the Mayo Clinic in the Midwest here.
That work was also done in partnership with retailers to help promote dairy products to consumers.
We have some pretty big players in the Midwest, and we've partnered with Cub Foods, Dollar General, which surprisingly, you may not know, is the second largest grocery store chain in America. The best partner with Cookies is Milk, obviously, and we had signage in the store there. Another really cool retail partner we had was in the quick serve restaurant with Freddy's, a burger place in the Midwest. They had this cheese steak burger, and they had four slices of cheese on a limited time offer, and it was the biggest selling thing. So you can imagine two patties with four slices of American cheese on it. That was one of the biggest partnerships we had as far as success stories in the local quick serve restaurants there.
Promotion's only part of the investment done with checkoff dollars. Like with any other commodity groups that use a checkoff, investments in research and innovation are also a top priority.
One of the cool things we did was with the Hatchery, which is a think tank where people can present ideas. It's mainly the millennials or Gen Zs are promoting an idea, and they can submit that. The person that won it, we paid for 1 year free use in a commercial kitchen, and it was a person that developed a new kind of cookie. Cookies are one of the fastest growing snacks, and this isn't cookies you're buying in the grocery store. This is actually cookie stores, like crumble cookies. This young gal came up with a cookie that uses real butter and cream cheese and dairy products in that. We give them an opportunity to give them a little head start. We're expanding that this year. The Hatchery is going to expand into the Omaha, Nebraska area.
You can learn more by visiting MidwestDairy.com. For Iowa Ag Matters, I'm Dustin Huffman. Yeah, definitely some great information we got there about the dairy industry. And as we said, taking its lumps, but realizing that it's more than just the prices it's been seeing the last couple of years and also the scare we're having right now. And at least, you know, the FDA and the USDA, like I said, standing firm with those dairy producers, letting everybody know that the products are safe. All right, Andy Peterson is ready to go. He's got round two of the three big Iowa Ag Matters for you right now.
Number three.
Asking for assistance after severe storms and 24 tornadoes impacted Iowa on April 27th and 28th, Iowa Senator Charles Grassley and Joni Ernst leading the state's delegation and calling on USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack to swiftly approve Iowa's request for federal assistance. Governor Reynolds and Secretary Nag made the request on behalf of farmers hit by severe storms and tornadoes last month, as they're seeking immediate assistance in the USDA secretarial designation authorizing the FSA disaster programs, including Farm Loans Program and the Emergency Assistance for Livestock Program.
Number two.
A big win for Iowa's pork producers as new rules will allow meat to be served in school lunch breakfast programs. Did you know there was no meat at school breakfast? Yeah, Dr. Ashley Johnson, Director of Food Policy for the National Pork Producers Council, says this is key.
Because when it comes to protein, it is absolutely critical for these children to have a very well-rounded and very nutritious breakfast, because it really affects their ability to learn, to pay attention in school. And you know what? Pork is exactly that. It's nutritious. It's delicious. It's also affordable, so these schools can actually be able to utilize that protein to be able to feed these kids and help them with their school.
She says the action piggybacks the new dietary guidelines that are being worked out right now and corrects a problem from several years ago.
Number one.
Rising concern about retaliation after President Biden announced a surge of increased tariffs on imported Chinese products under Section 301 of 1974's Trade Act. Iowa Senator Charles Grassley says although he doesn't know what China's response will be, he thinks the ag exports from the U.S. could be a target. Asking for assistance after severe storms and 24 tornadoes impacted Iowa on April 27th and 28th, Iowa Senator Charles Grassley and Joni Ernst leading the state's delegation and calling on USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack to swiftly approve Iowa's request for federal assistance. Governor Reynolds and Secretary Nag made the request on behalf of farmers hit by severe storms and tornadoes last month, as they're seeking immediate assistance in the USDA secretarial designation authorizing the FSA disaster programs, including Farm Loans Program and the Emergency Assistance for Livestock Program. He says increased tariffs always include the threat of retaliation and issues for enhancing international trade. I'm Andy Peterson. Those are your three big Iowa Ag Matters.
There are so many decisions that go into being a successful soybean farmer. Plant date, row spacing, water management, crop rotation, soil temperature, cover crop, soil pH, nutrients, water conditions. Whew. At least becoming a farmer member of the Iowa Soybean Association is one straightforward decision in your life. If you market at least 250 bushels of soybeans annually, ISA's farmer membership is available at no additional cost thanks to your soy checkoff investment. Just activate or confirm online and start reaping the benefits. It's a no-brainer. The Iowa Soybean Association proudly celebrates 60 years of moving our industry forward.
Well, we started off the morning with the markets being stronger on corn and soybeans, seeing some great gains, but corn quickly turned around as the traders started taking over the numbers instead of the computers. We're going to take a look at what those midday numbers look like for grain and livestock and see just how things are going. Andy and Mark will have that for you next here on Iowa Ag Matters. Of course, you can look at the markets anytime under the market tab, rather, on iowaagnet.com. Again, we'll see you here in just a moment with those numbers.
This is the Midday Market Update on Iowa Ag Matters. I'm Mark Magnuson. Joined today by Lori Carter of Comstock for a Midday Market discussion on Friday. Lori, what are we seeing taking place in the grains here today?
Kind of quiet today and for the most part under pressure. Kansas City wheat down 11, Chicago down 10, corn's down 4. The beans are the outlier. They are up 5 to 8 cents, so a little bit excitement there, but the markets in general pretty quiet.
And the beans started off with a nice jump here early this morning. It has calmed down a little bit. Was that just a natural correction after that jump in the overnight hours?
I think so. I haven't seen anything new new news or anything that would affect it either way, actually.
Today, we also have the wheat going the opposite direction from what we've seen for the most part this week. What do you point to as the reason for the negative price movement?
Well, until just the last little bit, we had actually on Kansas City wheat, we made a big move up Monday, and we had trade within the range of that day all week until just a few minutes ago when we took those lows out just slightly. Part of that, I'm thinking, is probably due to the Kansas wheat quality tour. Not that that was a bin buster, but it was maybe a little bit better than the market was anticipating as far as the yields and the estimated wheat production.
That was Lori Carter of Comstock. Here's Andy Peterson with more livestock news.
Up first, as always, the beef markets. Daily estimated cattle slaughter numbers, 124,000 head. That's 2,000 more than a week ago and 1,000 more than a year ago. Boxes are sharply higher once again on 62 loads of choice cuts, selling at 338 stronger, 310.15 select, up 220, 296.51, 26 loads of movement there. The spread widening to 1364, widest it's been in a couple of months. As far as the pork side of the equation goes, daily estimated slaughter totals 479,000 head, 6,000 more than a week ago and 9,000 more than a year ago. Cash markets, yesterday's closes and end-of-day reports for comparison purposes. Barrels and gilts, producers sold on a carcass basis, negotiated purchases. First, we saw a light run, only 3,446 head of sales. Market 60 cents stronger, weighted average price of $89.33. Formula purchases, 156,000 head and some change, so about an average run there. Weighted average price, $90.56, so that market 42 cents weaker. As far as what's happening here today on a Friday, only 2,600 head of negotiated purchases were 58 cents lower as well to a weighted average price of $88.78. And the formula purchases, 100,000 head of sales, weighted average price $91.02, 52 cents higher.
May is National Beef Month, and with the warmer temperatures of the spring season, there's no better time to fire up the grill and enjoy some quality Iowa-raised beef. Just a 3-ounce serving of beef provides more than 10 essential nutrients like protein, iron, zinc, and vitamins B12 and B6, while only clocking in around 170 calories on average. Support your local Iowa beef producer by enjoying some nutrient-dense beef during this National Beef Month. This message brought to you by your friends at the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
At midday, July corn down 4.5 at 452.5. July soybeans up 8.25 at 1224.5. July soybean meal up 20 cents at 367.90. July soybean oil up 66 cents at 45.18. On the Merc, June live cattle up $1.15 at 180.18. August feeder cattle up $1.60 at $258.95. June lean hogs down $2.10 at $96.28. June pork cutout unchanged at $103.50. And Class 3 milk up 30 cents at $21.42. That was a check of the midday markets on Iowa Ag Matters. I'm Mark Magnuson.
Dive back into the markets here and focus on the livestock. Matt Bennett from agmarket.net rejoining Mark Magnuson. Here's Mark.
Let's continue on the theme with cattle and hogs, and what are we seeing there in the protein sector?
Yeah, whenever you look, for instance, at cattle, they've had a nice little week here, pushing back up on the 200-day moving average, trying to get back above all of the resistance we might see. When you see equities as strong as what they are, it's kind of given a little bit of a tailwind to this cattle market that's quite frankly been a little bit noncommittal here, you know, over the last few weeks. And so, I think that if you get with consumer confidence maybe rebounding a little bit, people talking about interest rate cuts, again there in September, I know there's been a lot of talk about that here lately. You know, I've got to think that the fundamentals of the cattle market, which true fundamentally, this cattle market's just, kind of a beach ball being held under the water, I think, for some folks. At the same time, I think a lot of people saw the haircut we took there a couple of times here, towards the end of the calendar year. And then, of course, March into April, you saw a couple of pretty big dips in this cattle market, which makes you respectful of any rally. So we've been telling our producers, you get yourself into profitability, set a floor in place, keep some flexibility, if you will, but you got to respect these rallies, even though we think we could go up and make new highs maybe later in the year.
And then with the hogs, what are you thinking about the hog market right now?
Well, you look at most of these months in the hog market and, you know, you've kind of went up, and some people are saying it looks close to a double top. I'm not going to call it that. You know, definitely you had a couple of pretty pronounced peaks there, you know, and then we've really scaled back. And then, of course, you know, I had a pretty good day here yesterday. So as far as the hog market goes, as I've told you several times here lately, I just can't get super friendly, you know, in the triple digits type ball game. At the same time, if this cattle market's going to stay strong, I'm not so sure that you'll see some spillover support coming over towards hogs. And that's something that's been a feature in the past. You know, especially whenever steaks get super expensive, you know, people start saying, hey, maybe a couple pork chops on Friday night doesn't sound so bad either. So I do think as you get into grilling season, you should see support across the protein sector. You know, but as far as getting bullish $100 hogs, I'm going to have to see some pretty strong cattle numbers as well.
And here in Iowa, we're getting excited for World Pork Expo just around the corner coming up in Des Moines in a couple of weeks. He is Matt Bennett of AgMarket.net, our guest here today. Matt, what's the best way for our listeners to get in touch for more marketing information?
Yeah, it's just AgMarket.net. If they want to go there, they can get a hold of our contact info and the technology we provide folks, as well as the research that we put out multiple times a day.
Thanks so much for the information. We appreciate it as always. Have a great weekend.
Oh, absolutely. You as well.
There are so many decisions that go into being a successful soybean farmer. Plant date, row spacing, water management, crop rotation, soil temperature, cover crop, soil pH, nutrients, weather conditions. Whew. At least becoming a farmer member of the Iowa Soybean Association is one straightforward decision in your life. If you market at least 250 bushels of soybeans annually, ISA's farmer membership is available at no additional cost thanks to your soy checkoff investment. Just activate or confirm online and start reaping the benefits. It's a no-brainer. The Iowa Soybean Association proudly celebrates 60 years of moving our industry forward.
Well, the new drought monitor is out and Iowa looking a lot better than it was just a few short weeks ago. But that is, of course, slowing planting progress. We'll talk about that in just a little bit and what the weather's doing for the grain storage as well here on Iowa Ag Matters.
Well, the latest drought monitor is out here, and we'll discuss that on Iowa Ag Matters. Andy and Dustin Riley making a sound good, Mark taking care of the market conversations for us today, your authentic, official, and trusted voice of Iowa agriculture. I was mentioning yesterday, Dustin, that in conversations with the various folks across the state, and I know you've seen this, I know Riley's seen it, Nate Meyer from Bex in that discussion, the drought monitor is, it seems like playing catch up a little bit to conditions on the ground. It shows now for the first time in basically a year that over half the state is no longer in any sort of drought condition. So that's great news. It's a big jump from last week and obviously a huge jump from just a couple of weeks ago. But boy, anecdotal reports, Dustin, from conditions on the ground suggest that it's kind of wet across much of the state here at this point in time. The precipitation that's fallen has been pretty widespread and pretty generous.
Yeah, that it has. I mean, we've heard of low spots where they are talking about some replanting in the southeast. I know northwest part of the state is still way behind in planting, and some places where they are planted, they're talking about replanting. But, you know, it is true. We are seeing some wet conditions. Not that anybody's complaining, because I think we know that we want to get planting done, but all the farmers know, and I'm sure Andy is a farmer, you know, we need that soil recharged, because the less stress we can put on those plants and those seeds, the better off we're going to be. And especially since they're talking about that La Nina flaring up again this summer, which would bring drier temperatures, to get that soil and subsoil moisture back up. And that's where a lot of, I think, still lies, is the subsoil moisture, where we're seeing the deficiencies. But that is continuing to build as we see the weather continue to put rain on us here this time of year. And, you know, again, like I said, we know we want to get the seeds in the ground, and it looks like Mother Nature has been accommodating here those last couple of days. We know there's progress being made. I know, Andy, we talked yesterday, you finished up. And so, you know, a lot of farmers are getting to that finish line, and things will, Mother Nature usually finds that way to balance everything out as she should. And if we can walk away with, yeah, maybe it costs us a little bit of time in planting, but if we can walk away with recharged soil, that's going to mean so much to help that crop along, you know, barring any other temper tantrums that Mother Nature might throw.
Yeah, and a couple of the agronomy updates that I read frequently, as you know, in reference here. That's been sort of the theme is come July, we're going to be thankful for the moisture that has fallen. And actually, this window that we're in right now, and by the way, I would look for big advances in the planting progress report here come Monday afternoon. This is the longest window that we've had all planting season long. Even April 12th, 13th, and 14th was only those 3 days. And this one basically has been since late Saturday or Sunday, a little bit of rain falling in some parts Monday afternoon, evening, Tuesday morning. But by and large, this one's stretching almost to a week long now, which has been fantastic. I've seen quite a bit of hay that's been knocked down as well. The forecast doesn't look great to do it today, although we're certainly discussing our afternoon plans at the moment as it's ready to be cut. There's no question about that. But it's been a pretty substantial shift over the course of the last 6 weeks or so in terms of moisture conditions across the state, yeah, right when you don't want it, as you mentioned.
Exactly. And the thing is, though, what's been really nice about this is we know that during that drought, there was that struggle to get forage, you know, the grass, the alfalfa. So to be able to be having that problem again where we've got grass to cut, alfalfa to cut, whatever it is, that's a good problem to have that we can build up that stockpile once again. But I think most of the farmers that are still planting would prefer if nobody did cut the hay. Because I don't remember how it worked for you guys growing up, but in Minnesota, every time you cut the hay, it was sure to rain. So, you know, it was just one of those deals that you always bet on that, okay, we just cut the grass, we cut the alfalfa, it's going to rain here in the next 2 days while it's drying out. So they might want to hold off on that. But again, you got to make hay when the sun shines. As they always say,
you know, when that didn't work, Dustin, all of last year,
that
didn't
true.
Work one single bit. We tried that every time. More Iowa Ag Matters coming up in just a moment. Sit tight.
May is National Beef Month, and with the warmer temperatures of the spring season, there's no better time to fire up the grill and enjoy some quality Iowa raised beef. We all know that beef tastes great, but it can also be an important part of a healthy, balanced diet. Just a 3-ounce serving of beef provides more than 10 essential nutrients like protein, iron, zinc, and vitamins B12 and B6, while only clocking in around 170 calories on average. Studies have also shown that lean beef can help to maintain normal cholesterol levels and promote heart health. On top of that, beef is a highly versatile meat that can be enjoyed in everything from burgers to steaks and tacos to pizzas. Beef cattle are also excellent nutrient upcyclers. About 90% of what they eat can't be digested by humans, making them invaluable to a sustainable food system. Support your local Iowa beef producer by enjoying some nutrient-dense beef during this National Beef Month. This message brought to you by your friends at the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
Well, just like that, we're at the end of another week of Iowa Ag Matters. Of course, thanks to Riley for making everybody sound good. Thanks to Mark for contributing those markets. Andy, have a good weekend making hay or whatever it is that you're going to be doing there and cleaning out the planter. And everybody out there, hope you have a great weekend. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week here on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.